Hey, this is Paul Wilson of Karate Cafe. I'm not really a leading martial arts podcast figure, respected the world over for my opinion. But I do play one on the internet, and when I'm not doing that, I listen to Practical Defense. And now, so are you.
Welcome to the Practical Defense Quick Tip of the Week. I'm your host, Alex Addix. Quick tips are small things, little habits, which will hopefully help keep you a little safer. This week, our subject is fear, anger, and how those emotions can make you more vulnerable during a conflict. We'll start with some quick definitions. These are simple definitions for complex emotions and the drivers behind them. However, they give us some reference point for our discussion. You know, fear is an emotion that alerts us to danger. It triggers both psychological and physical reactions in all creatures to help keep them alive. Now, anger is another emotion that can cause us to strike back. When we've been wronged in some way, we desire to seek retribution by punishing the person who inflicted the wrong. The problem is, although fear and anger are some of our most base emotions, if not controlled, they can get us and our families killed in a crisis situation. The crisis can be an environmental condition, such as being lost in the mountains, or in a physical conflict with a criminal. Unchecked fear leads to panic. Has anyone ever heard the statement, "He was in a bad spot, but fortunately, he panicked, and that saved his life"? No. Panic is a precursor to death. Anger also causes us to do stupid things. We tend to lash out without regard for the consequences, which exposes us to further attack. We leave ourselves vulnerable. In a crisis situation, we need to retain as much control over our emotions as possible. We need to listen to our fear because it's a great warning system, but we cannot let it progress into panic. The man who feels no fear is going to be just as reckless as the man who feels too much. What you need to do is see it, feel it, and then move past it. Just don't let it get in the way. We also need to control our anger to avoid doing something stupid and making things worse. So how do we learn to control our reactions to being confronted by an armed criminal? A gun poking you in the nose is enough to cause anyone to panic. Seeing a family member get hurt will certainly cause you to get angry. So what can we do? What will help prepare us for a possible sudden crisis? The first thing is training. Get correct and realistic training founded in real-world scenarios. This prepares you for what you might face. Next is practice and repetition. Once you have the training, you still need to drill and repeat the techniques. Repetition increases the smoothness of your actions and reduces your need for conscious action. And I'll get more into that in a moment. And finally, you need to run scenarios. Now, wherever you go and whatever you do, run what-if scenarios in your head. This gets your mind thinking about the vulnerabilities and forces you to plan a response. I do this all the time throughout the day, but I only spend a few seconds on it. It should become part of your passive awareness routine. Run a couple of different scenarios with different actions. You know, as they say in the military, no plan survives first engagement with the enemy. So plan alternatives. All these things increases your comfort with a potential crisis. That level of comfort will reduce the shock if the event actually ever surfaces, allowing you to act and move quickly without having to think. I'm going to end with the concept of not needing to think or use conscious action. The goal of your training is to be able to act without thinking. However, do not confuse that with acting without thought. You want to have your training and practice down so well that you just move without consciously planning every strike, block, draw, duck, and step. If you have to use your conscious mind to plan, you're moving too slowly. You see this in highly skilled athletes on the field. They are so practiced that they make incredibly complex moves at speed appear easy. They seem to have eyes in the back of their heads. This is commonly referred to as being in the zone. There is deliberate and calculated action, but the slow conscious mind is taken out of the equation. You see the same thing in our highly skilled and highly trained law enforcement and military squads. They move with smooth and skilled precision. When he needs his firearm, he doesn't think about drawing his handgun. It just appears in his hand. The samurai referred to this state as mushin, or mind no mind. It is the highest state that one can attain in a stressful life and death state. The problem is that fear and anger interrupt mushin. Either or both completely block it. You cannot react to a situation in a manner required if you're blinded by fear or anger. You'll strike without consideration for the multitude of other factors that you might have seen or considered if you were calm. This tactic of using anger or fear is often used in sports to prevent or inhibit the competitor from achieving mushin. It's commonly referred to as smack talk. And on the football field at the line, both sides are saying things that would get fines if they aired on live television. Boxers talk and say crazy things when they're fighting or in the clinch. Even basketball players try to use anger and fear against their opposing players. I saw this tactic all the time in the years I spent in amateur tournaments. Guys would stick their tongues out at the opposing side or berate them during the fight. If you could get the guy mad enough, he'd make a wild strike and leave himself open, and you'd score a quick point. If you let fear or anger get the better of you, you will eventually lose. It could be on the game field, the battlefield, the street, or inside your home. Training, practice, and repetition will help maintain your composure even in the most stressful of circumstances. You want mushin, mind no mind. You don't want to be a rabid dog. As always, you can follow my daily tips on Twitter and Facebook. On Twitter, I am Practical Def, and Facebook is Practical Defense. The show now has mobile phone applications for both Android and iOS. You can find a PDF of the show summary and notes in the bonus content section. For those of you who are local, I am running a Kubaton seminar on Saturday, July 23rd, which is next weekend, and a knife survival seminar on Saturday, September 24th. Check-in for both of those seminars is at 1:45 p.m. The training lasts until about 4. Pre-registration is required, and you can find links to those on my website at alexhaddix.com. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you would like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@alexhaddix.com. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe. Practical Defense is a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network at gunrightsradio.com. And that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions, commentary, and topic suggestions, send an email to podcast@alexhaddix.com. That's podcast@alexhaddix.com. And if you ever want to train with me, look me up on the web at alexhaddix.com.
Music by Kevin MacLeod.
When every moment matters and a life is saved, when someone gives blood, when a hand reaches out, that moment when heartbreak turns to hope, you're there through the American Red Cross. Down the street, across the country, around the world, you help save the day. Every day. Your support truly matters. You can help today. Visit redcross.org.